Thank you for listening to the Rivers Church podcast with Pastor Andre and the Rivers team. Be sure to subscribe for a weekly dose of encouragement and inspiration to help your daily life. We pray that this message will help in whatever season of life you might be in.
I've been preaching on a series I have developed on God and been teaching on God, because in our church this year, our theme is God. And so I've spent much of the year, and will spend the rest of the year most of the time, teaching on who God is. Many times we think we know God, but the God we know is the God of our imagination, or the God of our experiences, or the God that somebody is preaching about. But the God of the Bible must be understood. And we have to know God for who He is and not for how we have experienced Him. Because it is out of who He is that we have our experience of Him. And so in the first service, I preached on God as eternal and God as infinite. And in the second service, I preached on God as spirit from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The first service was Genesis 1, 1. Second service was Genesis 1, 2. And in this third service, I'm preaching from Genesis 1, verse 3, God as the Word of God. The Word of God. The first chapter of Genesis is a very remarkable chapter, and it's a chapter to be deeply studied because it is God's self-introduction to us. He's telling us, this is who I am. So from Genesis chapter 1, there is no human being except God acting and showing Himself. So when we look through Genesis chapter 1, we see God telling us about who He is. It's His self-revelation. And He tells us that He's eternal, that He's a creator, that He's a spirit. And in Genesis chapter 1, we see the most important foundations of the Christian faith. The Christian doctrine, the doctrine of the Trinity, is right there from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. God the Creator, God the Spirit, and today in this service, we are looking at God, the Word of God. God the Word. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Then God said, usually I would add in parentheses, it's not your uncle who said. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the third important picture we are seeing of God in Genesis, that He's a creator, that He's a spirit, and that He is Word. Then God said. That phrase, then God said, is repeated 8 times in Genesis chapter 1, and it always preceded every remarkable act of God. So before God would do anything remarkable in Genesis chapter 1, it will be preceded with, then God said, then He would make what He said. So God and His Word are very present in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. So I want us to take a closer look at the word said and what it means to us. Then God said. The Hebrew word is yomer, yomer. It means to will and to utter a word. It's possible to say a word without thinking. Have you ever had the experience where you said something and say, oh, I wasn't really thinking about it, but you said something? But when we say God said here, it's not a careless phrase. It is a word that has been thought about, willed to be spoken, and then spoken. So behind God's word is His will. His will is what prompts His word. So this word that is used here shows that the word of God spoken comes from the inner being of the speaker. There is a simple way to understand the Trinity. Three words: will, word, work. Will, word, work. The will of God, the word of God, and the work of God. The Father wills it. The Son is the word, releases what is will, and the Holy Spirit executes what the word has spoken. So you have will, word, work. It's just a simple way of understanding the Trinity. So here we see the word of God releasing the intention of God. Without the word of God, we can never know what God is thinking. Without the word of God, we can never understand what God wants. If God had not spoken, we would not know him. There are many ways to know God. You can know God through what is called general revelation. General revelation is when we look at the universe, when we look at creation, the sun, the moon, and the stars and everything, we get the impression that there is somebody who made them happen. So the creation reveals God to us, but not in special terms. It gives us a general notion of God. All religions have this general notion of God, that there is a creator. Some call him the supreme being. These days, people call him the universe, whatever that means. People have all these fancy names, the supreme being. But that's a general knowledge of God. But the Bible gives us more than general revelation. The Bible gives us special revelation. Because in special revelation, God says, I'm not leaving it to you to figure it out. I'm now telling you what it is. And so God says, this is what it is. And his word reveals who he is. So God transmits his will through his word. He makes his will and intentions known through his word. If you want to know what God wants, you pay attention to what he says. And in the Bible, what God has said has been recorded, documented, and sealed. So we have something called canonization. What it means is that God has spoken, and what he's spoken has been written. So many times when we hear preachers preach, the general term we give to a preaching is that he's preaching the word of God. So when I'm preaching now, I'm preaching the word of God. That's a good general term, but it can be a bit confusing, because then it can imply that as I'm speaking now, God is speaking. But that is not true. What the preacher does is to comment on what God has already spoken. God has spoken, and I am trying to explain and interpret what God has said. But what I am saying now is not the word of God. What God has said is what is written. A preacher is an interpreter of what God has said. I said that to a Pentecostal preacher once, and he didn't forgive me for saying that. I said to him, by the way, I heard you preaching and you said, I'm preaching the word of God. I said, you can't be preaching the word of God. God's word is already recorded. God's word is already known. It's the canon of scripture. It's being set. What you are doing is telling us what God meant by what he said. And that is what I am doing. I'm not preaching or declaring the word of God to you afresh. I'm saying that God has spoken, and this is what it means. Or this is what he meant by what he said. I have a whole series on that I titled God Has Spoken. And I talk about inspiration and illumination and interpretation and application of scripture so we don't confuse our thoughts with God. It's very easy for human beings to think they are God, but we are not God. We only explain the word of God. God transmits his will through his word. Genesis, John chapter 1, verse 1 captures this magnificent truth. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the most dramatic thought in Christianity. The most dramatic. The problem people have with Christianity is this. People believe there is God. People believe the Holy Spirit is God. But people find it difficult that a man who walked in the streets of Galilee, a man called Jesus of Nazareth, was God. But John says clearly, he is God. So when God spoke, that entity that came out later became flesh and dwelt amongst us. But when he became flesh, he didn't lose his divinity. He is God who has become flesh. Jesus of Nazareth is not just a great teacher, a great prophet, a great luminary. Jesus of Nazareth is the Word becoming flesh, and the Word is God. The divinity of Jesus is at the root of Christianity. We cannot reduce him to a religious leader. He is God manifested before us. So, God and his Word are one. God and his Word are one. It's foundational. In a sense, that truth can be applied to almost every human being. You and your Word are one. You know, when lying words proceed out of your mouth, people don't say, he speaks lying words. They say, he is a liar. Why do they say he is a liar? Because his Word is him. You and your Word are one. Your Word reveals who you are. So when you speak lying words, you are a liar. When you speak truthful words, you are truthful. God and his Word are one. God reveals himself through his Word. We know God because he has made himself known. He has not left it for us to ferret his will for ourselves. He has made himself known. This is who I am. It's not left to imagination. God reveals himself through his Word. And not only that, he works through his Word. This is critical to our faith. God works through his Word. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the waters. And the earth is without form and void. Darkness is upon the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God is moving. So there is the presence of the Holy Spirit, but there is no change. The change started when God spoke. So having an experience with the Holy Spirit is great. But having an experience with the Holy Spirit without the Word of God leads to just an experience without transformation. The Word of God introduces God's transforming power into our lives. God spoke. God works through his Word. God spoke. Now, you know, as human beings, many times it's difficult to understand biblical concepts because, of course, the Bible was written 1,000 years ago in a different culture. The language is different. There is a time frame between those times and this time. So anytime we're trying to understand the Bible, there is a cultural barrier, there's a language barrier, there's a time barrier, and we have to be able to cross all of those barriers to find out what is God saying. So when we say, we hear, for example, God said. Now, the natural instinct is to think that, you know, maybe a voice from heaven said, let there be light. You know, because when we speak, we produce an audible language. But it's possible to speak without producing audible language. It's possible to speak by providing information. Let me just give you a more modern analogy. You know, when I was growing up, I'm sure Pastor Andre and most of you will remember, we had television sets. And, you know, when I was growing up, there was only one channel. I just live with it, you know. And at 10 or 11 o'clock, it just station runs out and there's just a hissing sound. And you wake up and they play the national anthem and the station starts and so on and so forth. And then later on, we had a couple of channels. And if you wanted to change a channel on the TV set, you didn't speak to the TV and say, channel one. Television doesn't understand that language. You go to where the TV is, and you get a knob, and you turn it. And in those days, a lot of the TV sets had all these knobs on them. And especially those days, you know, the TV sets used to have this problem where the image will be going over and over. And the TVs understood one language. You just gave it a double slap, and then the image stayed. I think that's how you spoke to TV sets in those days. But you would go and turn a knob to increase volume, to change the color hue or whatever it is. And that's how you spoke to the TV. But these days, you don't go to the TV to touch it. There is another way of speaking to the TV. It's called a remote control. The remote control has a language, information programmed in it through infrared, and when you press it, it speaks to the TV. The TV hears it and changes channel. Now, if you didn't understand remote control, you'll be watching TV, and all of a sudden, channels change, and you wonder, who's talking to the TV? There is something talking to the TV, giving it information. So you have to be able to conceptualize God. When God said, he didn't necessarily speak Kosa, or speaks Zulu, or speak Afrikaans or English, but that God transmitted information. God transmitted information to the earth. Let there be light is not necessarily a known language of man, but it is God's language, God's word, God's information, speaking to the universe he has created and the earth he has created to conform to his preordained will. So that what he intends, he sets forth information for that information to materialize his thoughts. So God works through his word. And if you read the passage in Genesis 1:3, it says, then God said, let there be light. In the Hebrew, the literal translation will be light be. Yehi or light be. So God did not appeal to the light. He didn't negotiate with the light. He didn't pull the light from somewhere to find out, how do I get the light and where do I take it? He just spoke it. And when he spoke it, because what he said came from within him, light was already in him and he spoke it into existence. So the first thing we note from Genesis chapter 1 is that God's word, fundamental purpose of God's word is to produce light. God's word produces light. That's the fundamental purpose of God's word. When you come to church and you hear God's word being explained, it must produce light in your life. Because it is when the light comes into your life that the darkness is dispelled. Without the light, you can have a divine experience of the Holy Spirit and still go home without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. But when the light comes, then everything the Holy Spirit has been incubating in your life becomes a practical reality in your life. And that's why it's important to pay attention to the teaching and the explanation of the Word of God. Because in that explanation is the diffusion of light into your life. God wants to bring light into your life. That's the only way your life gets transformed, when God produces light through His Word. And this is how John puts it in John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That word comprehend simply means seize it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't seize the light from shining. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has nothing to do but to give way to the light. When God speaks light into my life, into your life, into our life, every darkness gives way. Whatever that darkness is, it gives way. And the light of God's Word produces three things. First, it produces illumination. Illumination. Illumination is making things clear. The darkness the Bible is talking about can be both physical or metaphysical, or natural or spiritual. Whether the darkness is physical or metaphysical, the light of God's Word will dispel it. Whether it is a demonic oppression, demonic harassment, whatever it is, the light of God will dispel it. You know, there are people who teach that there are certain demons that are so powerful that you have to do something extraordinary, like drink a couple of olive oil or drink some water, go for a prayer meeting, let somebody lay hands on you, turn you around in circles for you to roll on the floor. You know, something dramatic must happen for that spirit to be broken, because especially in African society, they'll say this is an ancestral spirit, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. There is no demon, there is no power on earth that has enough capacity to withstand the light of God. Whether it's been in your family for 1,000 years, whether your ancestors brought it home, whether it manifests by day or night, there is no spiritual power that can withstand the light of God. And the reason is very simple. The light of God comes from the Word of God. The Word of God's work is preceded by the work of the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit is the work of the Creator. So by the time the light comes, the Creator is already in existence and in manifestation in your life. There is no demonic power that can withstand the Word of God. Years ago, I was called to go and pray for a young man. In my church, I was a very young pastor then, and I was told to go and pray for him because he had a mental illness, and, you know, people ascribe all kinds of reasons for mental illness. And of course, I went to meet this young man. He was catatonic. He couldn't, you know, he was blank. He couldn't speak. He didn't even recognize me. And so I went to, because his sister told me. So I went to his home, and so I said, they described the situation to me. You know, they've prayed, nothing is happening. You know, normally when people say, "Pastor, we've prayed, nothing happens," they expect you to do something remarkable. You know, you have to jump a little, sweat a little, because you have to sweat, do some hard labor. Something must happen for them to feel that you are working. You know, so, and it puts pressure on you as a pastor, because you need to prove to them that you care and that, you know, the Holy Ghost is working. So jump a little, you know. So they invited me, and so I opened the Bible, and I read the Bible to him. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And I read it again. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And I read it a third time. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And I laid my hands on him, prayed silently, nobody heard me, and I said, be healed. And I got up and went my merry way. And so the family people said, are you done? You know, what is that? I mean, is that prayer? I said, yeah, I've prayed. There's nothing more I can do. Beyond the word of God, I don't have any extra power. What else should I do? Should I bring a touchlight? Should I get a bomb? Well, I have no other recourse. I have nothing else except that. Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, such as I have I give. And he spoke the word, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We have nothing else. Now, I can make you happy by jumping and all of that. And if you please it, I'll jump and jump and jump. But nothing will happen. So I just quoted the scripture, prayed for him and left. And I remember the sister seeing me off and says, Pastor, you know, it looks like you didn't really pray for my brother. I said, I did my best. I just spoke the word of God and I prayed. And many months later, I was preaching somewhere. And this tall guy, quite a giant, came and gave me a big hug and said, do you know me? I looked at him. I said, I don't think I know you. I don't remember you. He says, you know, a few months ago, you came to my house and my sister said you came to pray for me. And I was in the state and God delivered me. And he's working in an office. He's wearing shirt and tie in his right mind. Now, you may think I have extra power. I have nothing. I only have Yehi Or. Let there be light. Light be. Let the word of God be the word of God. And don't try to add salt and pepper to the word of God. Just let the word be the word. And you have to be a crazy enough believer to trust that the word of God is powerful all by itself. That when there's absolute darkness, that word can bring light. The word of God produces illumination. It also gives information, tells us something. When we receive God's word, we receive information about the things he wants us to know. Tells us about how to run our lives, how to run our marriages, how to run our businesses. Because God has word for every aspect of our lives. Church is not just about learning how to go to heaven. It's part of it. But church also teaches us how to harness our time, harness our resources, harness our talents, how to live well, how to think well, how to behave well. God's word deals with every aspect of human reality and gives us information on that. And the third, God's word gives us instruction. Gives us direction. An instruction is not a suggestion. An instruction is a premeditated path that is made clear to you. So when God speaks to you by his word, he gives you an instruction. It means that there is already a path laid for you that you must walk in. And when you walk in those paths, you get the results and the benefits that have been prescribed by the word of God. The word of God gives light. And I like how Genesis 1:3 ends in the evening and the morning were the first day. It's very interesting when you read the Bible that when God said, let there be light, he didn't permanently dispel the darkness. The light was there and the darkness was there, only they didn't mix together. And now they became seasons of life. So there is a season of darkness, there's a season of light. But both in the season of light and in the season of darkness, God is there. And that's what you have to understand. The Christian does not live in the light all the time. Neither does he live in darkness all the time. But whether you're going through darkness or you're going through light, the constant is God is there with you and he's present with you. And there are moments in our Christian walk where we feel like everything is dark. I can see my way clear. I can feel my way. Things are not working for me. God is with you in the dark. And there are times when everything is easy. You touch something, it's Ken Midas. It becomes gold. God is with you then too. The God of the valley is the God of the mountain. The God of the darkness is the God of the day. He never ceases to be God because it is nighttime. Neither does he cease to be God when it is daytime. In God's economy, you're going to have proportions of darkness and light in your life. I know you don't like it. I know you want to be in the light forever. But if you stay in the light forever, you would not be well nurtured. You need sometimes dark moments when you go within and think deeply about yourself so you can learn to emerge in the light again. God uses seed time and harvest time, day and night, the cycles of life. He even uses our pain to teach us about himself. He uses our suffering to show forth his magnificent power in our lives. The word of God is God. And anytime you read the Bible, remember you are taking God into you. You're not just taking words. You are beginning to understand God in a clearer way. But the most important revelation about God and his word is that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We later call him Jesus of Nazareth. And the Bible makes a very painful statement, sad statement about this word, that he came to his own and his own did not receive him. In other words, the word is offering himself. And some people say, we don't want anything to do with him. But then it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. We are all creation of God, but we are not all children of God. We become children of God when we receive the word become flesh into our hearts. And all of a sudden, there is a new dimension to our lives. We are no longer just a creation. We are now part of the divine family. We are part of God's family because Christ has come to live in our hearts.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.